the sun is shining and all of my favorite plant friends are popping up right now. Speaking of plants, what are you growing this year? Do you know? Do you know what kind of medicine will be in your garden? Or are you still trying to figure it out? Totally okay if you're still trying to figure it out. We're all growing and learning on this journey, right? But if you want some help, I do have a family medicine garden guide. It's basically 10 essential herbs that I feel like every mom needs to know and grow in their yard. I give you some growing tips and ways that you can use it as medicine, and it's totally free. So if you want that, I'm going to pop a link in the show notes here for you to grab it and get your hands digging in the dirt and growing incredible medicine for you and your family. Hello, and welcome to The Herbalist Path, a podcast where you'll discover how to make your own herbal remedies at home so that you can take better care of yourself, better care of your family, and better care of our planet. I'm Mel. I'm a clinical herbalist, environmental educator, and mountain living mama with this crazy passion for teaching more mamas and their little loves how to use plants as medicine in a safe, effective, and tasty way so that there can be an herbalist in every home. Again, it's an absolute honor to have you on the journey down the herbalist path with me so that together, we can make herbalism. Hashtag spread like wildflowers. So welcome back to another episode of The Herbalist Path. I am really excited about today's guest. Her name is Sonia Yamaguchi. And if it weren't for my good buddy Mason over at Herb Rally, I don't know if I would have met her. She goes by Yamamama on quite a few of the social media places. Mm-hmm. She is a mama, which is always so important. I love talking with moms about plant medicine and how they use it in their families. And she is also an author, which we'll dig into her book as this conversation goes on. So welcome, Sonia, to The Herbalist Path.
Thank you so much, Mel. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay! Like, so great. You look like you get as giddy as me.
So this I do.
This is bound to be a really giggly episode for anybody that's listening. I've just met Sonia, and I can tell you that's going to happen already.
For sure, yeah.
Sonia, I would love to hear a little bit about you and like how your plant journey began. Like, how did you start realizing that plants are amazing and your whole life is going to be revolved around them?
Yeah, for sure. And I think it started off like how most herbalists' paths started off, like when we were little kids. Mine started off when I was a little girl. I lived down a long dirt road alongside a river on the island of Kauai, and I had a lot of time to look around me and look at the plants around me, and I just became friends with them. I would like talk to the little flowers that were always blooming in the jungle. I would kind of like rename them, and then I would make a little like trail by my favorite mango tree. And, you know, I was out there mashing stuff up and playing pretend with plants since I was a little girl. And then as I got older, my family, my parents split up, and I really found like solace and comfort in the trees. I remember I would just climb the trees and sit up there for hours and just hang out and feel so supported and held. And I've kind of always carried that with me. There's a tree on a trail that I like to hike and back home, and we named it, my girlfriends and I, we hug it. You have to hug it every time you go by it. And my children now, they have to hug it every time they go by it. So that's kind of how it all began. And then when I graduated from high school, I started to think about what I was going to do, what I wanted to do with my life. And I wanted to study herbalism. But at that time, there was no online classes. Everything was in person. And there was nothing in Hawaii that was in person. I would have had to leave my home and go to the mainland and, you know, study in a foreign land with people I didn't know. And I was really young and kind of just like not quite ready for that. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going to massage school and learned about like that healing modality, which carried me through a big portion of my life, just kind of getting in tune with the, you know, the healing touch And then when I had children is when I revisited the whole idea of becoming an herbalist, because I wanted to be able to go out into my backyard or into the woods, you know, near my home and find medicine for my children. I didn't want to go to the drugstore and pull stuff off the shelves and not know what was going in my children's bodies. I wanted to be resilient and resourceful and rely on what was around me. So I started looking for courses, and I was led to so many different ones, but finally landed on Rosemary Gladstar's course, The Science and Art of Herbalism, because I thought if I'm going to learn herbalism, I might as well learn from the grandmother herself.
Rosemary's so lovely too. She's like this floaty little butterfly fairy of garden delight and goodness when you walk by her.
Yeah. She's so solid though, too. Like, she's so grounded. And I loved her approach, like the folk herbalism approach. Mm-hmm. Cause that's kind of how I operate anyway, you know, kind of more intuition based. And, that's usually how I make my remedies, is more intuition based rather than measuring very specific amounts.
Yeah. There's so many good pros and cons to both ways for
totally.
Sure.
Yeah. I came to find the benefit of both ways, or the multiple ways for sure, the more I studied. So I did a home study course when my daughter was young and a little baby. And I also had a 4-year-old at the time. So I got to try out a lot of the things that I was learning on them and myself, you know, wanted to nourish myself as a mother as well. So that's really important too.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. It is so important. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. Yeah, no, it's really important to touch on that, because there's so many layers to nourishment when you're a mother, not just the physical nourishment that you receive from making teas or, you know, tinctures that you can take to restore your body, but just going out into your garden or going out and wild harvesting. That is such a deep, like, spiritual nourishment that is also really important to take time for when you're a busy mom. Mm-hmm.
That peace and that connection time is so healing in and of itself. And like, as a teacher, that's one of the things I try to share with people, but it's almost impossible to like share, because that connection is unique for everyone. Like, you were talking about your childhood and how you had these plants there to comfort you, basically. So it was this emotional connection that's what it sounds like to me, that brought you into the plant world. And I think, you know, as you get further and further in the world of herbalism, it's simply easy to understand that the plants are your friends and they can have new names and you want to hug them every time you see them, or you can think about them and you can think about them hugging you back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to some people, they're like, okay, whatever, you're crazy. Back job. But like, it's real. and it definitely happens the more that relationship is cultivated. And I think what's beautiful is that you got back into it as you were becoming a mother, which also gives your children the opportunity to grow up with that kind of relationship to be developed. And I wonder if you could just share some insight into how that has impacted you as a mother and your children and your whole family dynamic. I know sometimes it can be challenging to be like, wait, other people don't do this? This isn't how other people live? What do you mean?
Right.
But yeah, just touch on like how that has maybe put you into a better position as we navigate the world today.
Yeah, I feel confident. So it gives me a sense of confidence and resiliency. And my son now, he's 12. His taste is accustomed to so many different, you know, herb types of taste. Mm-hmm. I give him Andrographis when he's like trying to fight off a cold, and he's just like, this is crazy. And he'll drink it down. And it's kind of like, he knows, like, if they start to feel sick or if they get a boil, like they just know that mom's going to show up with her concoctions and we're just going to have to, you know, take it in. But they have seen how it's benefited them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, compared to like children, you know, that maybe don't have that in their home, they're the things that they deal with sometimes will last longer or be more intense. And it's just so good to know that I have something in my back pocket that I can like give to my family that's going to nourish them, and then have my kids receive that. My daughter, her taste buds aren't as developed, but she will, you know, drink elderberry syrup, and she loves medicine juice is what she calls it. And it's funny because sometimes I'll give them tinctures or syrups or other, you know, medicine, like things that I haven't made, and they can tell the difference, or they'll ask me like, is this yours or is this somebody else's?
That's so funny.
They're like a little more resistant when it comes to like, you know, herbs and stuff from other people. But if they know it's from our garden, they'll come out and harvest with me and try to learn the names. My son will just kind of ask me out of the blue sometimes too, what does this one do again? What's in this blend? What does that help with? And so it feels really good to know that I can like send them out into the world eventually with that knowledge in their belt too, to care for themselves when they go out into the world and encounter whatever they encounter.
Yeah, I think that's so beautiful. And like, as you touched on, like your kids, if they do get some kind of illness, it doesn't last as long as everybody else's. And we definitely find that's the case in our family as well. And more often than not, when like everybody that we know is getting sick, we're not. That's like, it's not to say that we don't ever get sick. That would just be ridiculous. But that in and of itself is a superpower, because as moms, like we have time to have our whole family sick all the time. To-do list of being a mother, because that thing just doesn't end. Which takes me to another thing that you said, is that to-do list of being a mother, and that nurturing connection that you get just from spending time out in the garden or going out to talk to those plant friends or hugging that tree that you see every time, that is something very special to you. And I would love to just talk about like that motherly nourishment that you get from having these skills in your tool chest of life.
Yeah, I think the thing that affects me the most when I reflect on that is just the knowing that I'm always supported and that I'm always taken care of. And herbs and plants can become our greatest allies because they're so predictable. You know, like I know I can go outside and pick, you know, I've been using white sage a lot and drinking white sage to help with anxiety and to help like uplift my spirit and but also calm my spirit. It's very nourishing to the spirit when you drink it in tea, just one leaf in a cup at night. So I know I can go out into the, you know, my mom's garden. She has white sage growing in her garden, pick a leaf, make a tea with it. And I know what it's going to do for me. Like they're reliable. Herbs are consistent. You can depend on them. And so knowing that and having that relationship with so many different plants and with the earth really just helps me feel that I'm supported and loved no matter what and no matter where I go.
Which is so important, especially in like the tough mom life days. Like that's so invaluable. I love that. And I love that your mom's growing her white sage in her garden too. That's beautiful. So let me go back to that. You are from Hawaii. You're currently at your mom's in California.
Yeah. So I was born in California in this really beautiful place that was like a wildlife preserve. And it was kind of the point in California where the like it kind of goes like this. I don't know if you can see drawing it out on the screen, but that point. So it was like all these different environments and ecosystems converged kind of where I was born. And I think just being in that environment really just opened up my whole being to nature and plants and animals. And then we moved to Hawaii when I was about two. So I grew up in Hawaii, but it's so great to come back to California and feel like I have a home here as well. And then be so connected to Hawaii as well and the plants and the herbs there. Cause I eventually found a teacher there who was teaching live classes and got to study with him for a few years. And that was really great.
Yeah. Can you just, there's a lot of online learning today and there is a lot of, there's hands-on or learning both. And I was really blessed when I first started diving into herbal schools that I was able to do a lot of hands-on and meet a lot of plants in the wild, which was really, really beautiful for me. My love for nature is what got me into plant medicine. I just want to hear from your perspective and your experience, the pros and cons or the benefits and, you know, what you wish could have been different or something. Just your experience with online versus in-person learning of plant medicine.
I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes. I love this time of year. It's spring, the sun is shining, and all of our beautiful plant friends are popping up. It's amazing. Unless, of course, you're one of the millions of people who suffer from seasonal allergies. You know, the itchy, watery eyes, the sneezing and wheezing that's straight miserable. Thankfully, there are some amazing herbs that can help you with all of that. Just like the herbs inside of Kick-Ass Allergy from Wish Garden Herbs, one of my absolute favorite herbal companies out there. Kick-Ass Allergy, yes, I said ask without the K at the end. Anyways, this formula has yerba santa, nettles, echinacea for that immune support, and orange peels, all which come together to help dry up those excessive mucosal secretions. Yep, I'm talking about the sniffles and the stuffy nose, the watery eyes, and all that jazz. This blend also acts as a great expectorant and can help ease the swelling and inflammation in those mucosal tissues. It is a top go-to for seasonal allergies. And get this, they combine all those beautiful herbs with glycerin, so it actually tastes pretty darn good. Or should I say, it tastes kick-ass, without the K at the end. Anyways, if allergy season is miserable for you and you want a natural remedy that actually works for those itchy eyes and being all sneezy and wheezy, you have got to check out Wish Garden Herbs Kick-Ass Allergy. And for those of you with the little kiddos, no sweat, they've got a kick-it allergy too. And you pregnant mamas? You don't have to suffer either. They've got a kick-ass allergy formula just for you. So head over to wishgardenherbs.com or check out the link in the show notes and go grab yourself some kick-ass allergy so you can enjoy spring again.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I guess, you know, in-person learning, you get to sit with other people and be a part of a collective, which is really exciting. And plants are like that as well. You know, they grow in gardens, they grow in areas with other plants for a good reason. So, because you can learn things from each other and you can learn to lean on each other for different information or experiences, you know, because everyone has their own unique experience with a plant. So you get to share, which is really important in learning about herbalism, I feel like. And then you get to be introduced to the plants that are in your area, which was one thing that was kind of a challenge with the Science and Art of Herbalism course, because there was plants on there that I was like, I don't know what this is or where it grows or who it is or what it looks like. I'll probably never use it because I don't necessarily want to work with it dried. Like there's something about working with the plants that are alive and in their environment and freshly harvested and brought to the classroom full of life and, you know, full of that mana, that spirit that they have when they're so fresh that you don't get online because maybe you just get dried herbs, which is a great place to start. But there's something about it, like being so close to the environment where they grow and then being able to use them hands-on and be able to taste them hands-on and share that experience with others around you.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Like, it's such a gift, and there's definitely a difference, and the quality of your medicine comes out significantly. I feel more powerful and potent, and yeah, there's a lot of benefits to that in-person learning. And, you know, sometimes it's not available for everybody. And, you know, there's pros and cons all the ways around, for sure.
Yeah, because the online, you know, will connect you to the broader world at whole as well. You become part of that global community, which is also really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you might have access to people that you normally wouldn't.
For sure.
If you were for sure in person.
Yeah, absolutely. And it can get expensive traveling from all the in-person places and classes and conferences and all the great things there is to learn out there.
And as a mom, you know, being, you know, having an online course or at-home study course was really convenient because I was really busy and I could do it in my own time.
Do it in nap time, or when you're out in the garden digging in the dirt, you can listen to lessons, or that kind of fun stuff is really nice.
Yeah.
Amazing. I want to talk about your book.
Oh, yay. I know. Yeah. I can go run and grab it really quick. I didn't.
Please do. Okay. That would be amazing.
I'll be right back.
And as she's going to grab it, so Sonia wrote a really cool book that I'm so excited to dive into. It's called Plant Medicine Stories, Super Noni and Friends, and I'm going to let her talk deeper about it. I'm really excited because it looks so cute. And I think a lot of you mamas are really going to enjoy the story and hopefully want to share it with your kiddos too. So I was just going over like the title and very little bit of an intro on your book while you went to grab it. And for those of you that are seeing this on YouTube, you get to see the cover. I'm definitely going to link to the book, but I want to hear about it from the author herself. Yeah,
thank you. So this is called Super Noni and Friends. And it started with the idea of wanting to write stories about plants. And then I had the idea, well, what if the plants told their story? So the plants speak, you know, from the perspective of them as a person, and then they get to share who they are through story and through poem. So I selected 10 plants that are native to Hawaii, because I really believe in the value and the importance of learning about the plants and the environment around you.
Absolutely.
And so I wrote the stories about the plants, and then they became characters all on their own.
Fun.
Yeah. So there's different plants in Hawaii that we have. This is one, Mama Mamaki, if you can see. Mm-hmm. And Mamaki is actually a cousin to nettles.
Oh.
So it's in the nettle family, like stinging nettles, but it doesn't have a sting. Nice. But it works in the body a lot of the same way that nettles does.
Cool.
And then we have Peaceful Pohinahina.
Yay.
She grows on the beach. Then there's Super Noni. And then we have a King Kukui, which is the candle nut tree.
Fun.
Yeah.
I love that they all created their own characters and became their own beings, because they are their own beings. So
Adventurous Olena. Turmeric.
Nice.
And he's adventurous because he traveled the globe, right? Because he's used in medicine all over the world.
Right. Oh, I love that so much.
Yeah. And then so I have recipes and stuff. Oh, sorry. I have recipes and stuff.
Nice. That's amazing. Did you write it with the intention for it to like be a kid's book or for adults? Because if it was for kids, I've always told my daughter I'm staying 8 years old forever. So I want it.
Well, you know what's great is I wrote it, you know, I feel like my inner child wrote it. Like she wanted it to come to life. Little Sonia, I like to call her, but she wanted it to come to life. And I wrote it with children as an audience, but I feel like our inner child can really benefit from it too, because I feel like when we approach plants, approach herbs and making, you know, herbal, you know, remedies and stuff, approaching it from that childlike perspective of like openness and wonder and joy and curiosity, I feel like that is a really like open door, like
yeah,
to understanding herbalism. Because And that's why I loved teaching kids too. So I wrote it and I created like a curriculum from it. And like there's black and white coloring sheets that you can print out and the kids can color. And then I did an audio recording so kids can listen and draw and stuff. It's really fun. And I wrote it for kids mainly just because I feel like children are just so much more open. Like they don't have a lot of their own like adult stories in their mind about, well, are you sure that it does this? And are you sure, like, what can you prove, you know?
Right. Where's the science of all of this? It hasn't been paid for yet.
Whereas children, they learn science by experimenting and tasting and learning and playing, right?
Right. So, yeah. That's so fun and exciting. How long has your book been out?
Let's see. I think since September of 2022. Nice. Yeah. So about 6 months now. And you know, what's really exciting. Thank you so much. Is that I got Rosemary Gladstar to write my foreword.
Yay, Rosemary. I love when I always think of like the joy a person must feel when Rosemary writes their foreword in their book.
I was unbelievable because I told you I was taking her course. Right. And at the end of her course, she wants like to see your materia medica, you know, like about all your plants and the details of where they grow and how to harvest them and, you know, what you can use them for. And I honestly like did not do that.
It's hard to create your own materia medica. It's a lot of work.
But I was like,
your mom.
I was like, yeah, totally. I was like, Rosemary, I did write a book.
Will that do, pretty please?
And I was like, I use plants, you know, that are local to Hawaii and in my, you know, area on my island. And I wrote, so the stories are kind of like a materia medica in and of themselves.
Right.
Because the plants describe, you know, what they are, how they grow, where you can find them, how to harvest and use them as medicine.
So there you go. Only like, with a lot more creativity to it. Right. That's great. I love that. That's so fun. And you were talking before we hit record, you were briefly talking about like doing these kinds of books for different regions. Is that really a dream that'll come true? Do you think?
I know that's really a dream that will come true. I can like hear these little like plant, you know, characters wanting to come to life. And especially white sage, I can just see the white sage master, you know, grandfather wanting to speak and, you know, queen elder and elderflower and usnea and different herbs that we actually have in Hawaii too. But that are found on like, you know, the Northwest, I think it'd be really, really fun. I would love to do that for different regions.
It sounds like it would be a fun, like also family experiment and adventure because you'd have to go to the region and like hang out with those plants and just be there for a while and get to know those plants and hear their story. And I'm a homeschool mom. So I'm always like thinking of like, ooh, how can we turn everything into a homeschool experiment of sorts? And that right there is like a huge one. I'm like, does it really still become homeschool when like they've been born and raised with plants around them? Like, I get it, mom. I get it. No, my daughter still loves the plant medicine. And I think she's, from what I can tell, is pretty darn grateful that that's how we roll in this home. So
yeah, my kids are too. It's really cute. Whenever they have their friends come over, they will like make tea for them.
Yeah. We had a friend over 2 weekends ago, like her best friend, and they were supposed to have a sleepover. And prior to the sleepover, I could hear them talking together over the phone or whatever. And I could hear her coughing and they're like, no, she's at the end of it. And then she got here and totally didn't feel good. And my sweet little daughter is very compassionate and very caring. And she's like a healer at heart to the maximum. Like, I'm like, you need to be a massage therapist because she's got the hands for it already and just puts all that healing energy through her sweet little hands since she was like five. And I'm like, wow, that is truly a gift. Anyways, like her friend was sick and she's like, mom, she's not feeling good. Can I give her this tea? And do you think I should give her some lavender? Because her head hurts. And just like knew all the things to do. Oh, she had her neck hurt as well. And so she came to me with like this oil roller that I created for sore muscles and all those things. And she's like, I'm going to go massage her neck with this. Should I give her some lavender? What kind of tea do you think I should give her? I was thinking on Frazzle, You Dazzle. And I'm like... My baby is such a healer.
I'm done.
Yeah. I knew it like at three. We were at the park with another friend when she was like three and somebody fell down and got a boo-boo and she toddles on over to a plantain leaf in the park and just waddles back on over to her friend. And the other friend's parents are looking like, what is your kid doing? And then they're like, oh, wait, that's Mel's kid. Okay. You know, but like at that moment, I was like, I just won parenthood. Like, I did it. Yay. My daughter knows how to heal her friends with plant medicine in the park at the age of three. That's amazing, awesome, though. And we need that kind of stuff to happen.
We do.
And that's part of like what I do. And the mission behind it all is teaching moms so that they're teaching these kids. And I teach grandmas too. I'll teach anybody that wants to be there. It's just easier for me to hone in on moms because I am a mom. And anyways, just so that is getting passed down from generation to generation to generation again, like it used to be, except for the last past 100 to 200 years when, you know, people were like, well, let's suppress that information so we can heavily profit over in this other direction where we're taking the constituents of these plants and putting them in fancy pills.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like it's so like, there's something like, there's so much more to that too. Like, because when children or even just adults start to see like plants that grow in their home area, not just as like medicine, but as friends, as something that they can rely on and depend on, you're not going to go out and destroy their environment. Like, you're not going to go out and tear down, you know, that wooded area or that, you know, that pond that grows, you know, mugwort or stream, you know what I mean? You're not going to go and destroy your friends and home. So when people start to see these plants as friends, as more than just plants, you know, I feel like they're going to care for that environment and want to defend it and take, you know, just take care of it.
You saying that means so much to me just because the whole reason I got into herbalism again is like that deep love and passion for nature and my desire to save the world with plant medicine. And obviously that's quite a big lofty dream, but I'm not going to stop. That is what I am here to do. And I love hearing what you just said about how when we help them cultivate that relationship with the plants beyond just this is medicine, what can you do for me, me, me? But looking at it in that bigger picture, it really hits home for me. And especially like I told you this briefly before we recorded, but I live on Mount Hood on the beautiful Sandy River, this gorgeous mountain river. And I have this incredible, lovely little trail out my back door. And I used to hike it all along the river. And then there was one little section that I would take a loop through the woods and my nettles are there and tons of lungwort and tons of usnea and tons of plant friends. And it was like my favorite nettle patch. And last year, a guy came in and bought that land and didn't get any permits and completely raped and pillaged that land, just cut down all the trees and dug all the holes because he plans to develop it and it's totally a floodplain. And I remember taking my daughter down on the trail when it was first happening and that sweet, compassionate, loving little being just broke down in tears over her heartache of all of her trees and friends being gone. And how could someone do that to the land and to those spaces? And the sad thing is that it happens all the time. But maybe if we continue to cultivate this connection with more people and more plants, that kind of stuff will stop happening as much.
Right.
Big, big lofty dream.
And even just in a small way, you know, And it takes time too, like to establish a relationship and to cultivate respect.
Yes.
So yeah, we just got to keep plugging along.
Yeah. That taking time piece really resonates loudly with me as well, especially as like I'm teaching more people about plant medicine and I love to teach it. Like it brings me so much joy spreading this kind of information with people. And one thing that I do see every single time, and I get it because I did the same thing right when you get into the world of herbalism, you just want to know everything. And you want to know all of it about every plant right away. And it just doesn't happen that way. Right. There's no way that could happen, you know?
Right. So, yeah.
Understanding that it takes that time.
I liked one of your questions about, when I was looking over your questions about what it means to be an herbalist, like what I think it means. And to me, I feel like it's a nice segue, kind of it joins what you're talking about. And then also what I think it means is to be a good listener, you know, like to take that time, because I feel like if you can listen to plants and not just like hearing it, right? Because what is that? If you listen, they will teach you. Yes. But we listen with like our whole being, right? We listen with our sense of taste and we listen with our sense of smell. And then we listen with our bodies and how plants, well, if the plants affect our bodies. So an herbalist to me is someone who's a good listener. They listen to plants, but you also got to listen to people. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like people can sometimes say things, you know, or they won't speak and you'll have to listen, like what's going on with their body? How does their face look? What's going on with this cut? Like what kind of stomach ache is it? How does that cough sound? So to be able to listen to people as well as plants, and then you become like a matchmaker. That's what I feel like an herbalist is a matchmaker.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that so much. It's so true too. And that, you know, those matches aren't going to be the same for everybody.
No.
You're not going to get the same plant as your friend. And that I think is hard for people to understand as they start getting into the world of plant medicine, but that's a beautiful way of putting it. You are a matchmaker. Who is the right plant for you in your unique ways? That is so important. I love that. And yes, as you were saying that, I was pulling up the United Plant Savers sticker. And I believe it was Rosemary that may have created this quote. I know she founded United Plant Savers, but if you listen, they will teach you. And I think that is so incredibly beautiful and so incredibly true. I can't count the amount of times that plants have been like, hey, me, come over here. I'm what you need right now. Did you not know?
Totally. I get that same thing, especially I'm finding more like as I'm making remedies too, because I love the way that Rosemary taught how to make remedies, like, and I use her formula every time I'm making tea, like how to have a lead herb and then supportive herbs and then maybe circulatory herbs. So her formula for making teas and remedies is so good. And that's one area where I hear those plants doing that. Cause I'll be like, okay, I got my lead herb. Okay. And then I'll like hear these little like, you know, just my database of plants being like, what about me? What about me? Put me in. Put me in.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
Totally. And then that's it changes depending, you know, person to person or circumstance to circumstance. And I think that's one of the most amazing things to experience when you come into like the world of herbs is to have that kind of, you know, knowledge and relationship. It's really exciting.
It is so much fun. That's what I always get so giddy about it for. Like, it's a blast. There's so much room for creativity in your healing and doing better for people on the planet. Like, how fun is that? It's like everything in my world. Okay, Sonia, here's a fun question for me to ask you that I ask most people on this show. It's because you're in such a different region than me usually. But if you had only one plant that you got to use as your plant friend moving forward from here till now, what would it be and why?
You know, I saw that question. I was like, I hope she doesn't ask me that again.
It's impossible.
It's like trying to choose your favorite, like, you know, child or person in your life. It's like almost impossible.
Yeah.
Immediately I always have mamaki come up. for me.
Tell me about Mamaki because I've never heard of it.
Yeah. So it's in my book, Mama Mamaki. I could actually read the story about her.
Would you? That would be great. Yeah, please.
Okay. Since it's like you work with mamas too.
Yeah, please.
Oh, this will be the perfect one. Okay. So this is Mamaki.
Yeah.
And what's cool about Mamaki, I touched on it in the story a little bit, but it has different, like, there's different kinds of Mamaki for each different island that's only native to that island. So, and there's several different kinds, and there's several different, like, you know, regions where it grows, and it has different colors and different shapes of leaves and stuff like that. So that's kind of a really cool fact. And you can only find it in Hawaii.
Nice.
But it is a cousin. I feel like there's, you know, herbal cousins all over the world.
Oh, for sure.
All right. So Mama Mamaki. I am Mama Mamaki. Long embracing arms beckon you in. Come give your mother a hug. I am strong and true, firm yet flexible, generous with my love and yet clear with my boundaries. I am willing to give if you don't take too much. Treat me with respect and I'll be devoted to you for life. In the womb, you share the same blood with your mother. She nourishes you and gives you life. I, Mama Mamaki, am no different. I nourish your blood and give life to it. There's an offspring of mine that's only found on Kauai. It has red stems, red like blood. When you steep my tea overnight, it also turns red like blood to help you remember. Remember what you're made of. If you ever forget who you are or what you're made of, come. Come take my leaves and make medicine, my child. Come regain your strength and your courage. Take your place in this world in truth and uprightness. You'll find me in the shadows near springs and streams, in the shadows of well-watered forests and trees. I am the keeper of all the watery waves, tapped into the source and reminding you of yours. I am Mama Mamaki, and I will give you strength. All you need to do is ask.
I love that. That is so much fun.
You see your little leaves kind of like beckoning you in for a hug.
Yeah, that is so great. I love it. And it totally had me on the journey with Mama Mamaki. So beautiful. It brought chills to my arms. Aww. And everything. So thank you so much. Beautiful. So a blood builder, very nourishing, I would imagine.
Yeah. When you steep it, so you got to steep it overnight, and then it does get that nice red color. It's like, you know, red like blood. And the kids are just like, oh my gosh, blood. It's red like blood. They like, but it helps them remember, you know, what it's good for.
For sure. You got to come up with those fun ways to remember things.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's also very slippery. It's a nice slippery herb. So sometimes I'll chop it up fine and even throw it in like soup.
Nice.
Cause it has a nice slippery, like, you know, mucilaginous content to it.
What does she taste like?
Very, very mild, very earthy. It's not a very green flavor, like, you know, some of the leafy herbs,
like nettles. Nettles taste like chlorophyll,
right?
I love the taste of fresh nettles. But
So Mamaki has a high tannin content, or it can. So it's very like earthy. Yeah.
Nice.
Actually, I should send you some.
I'm like, I just need to go to the islands and go explore more plants over there. I have a couple of herbalist friends and massage therapists actually over there. And it would be just fun to take my family over there, of course, and go explore more and more plants and land and beauty.
I feel like though, you know, for those people that aren't in Hawaii, like nettles would also be the plant that I think I would choose, just because it's when you build up your blood and you build up that like nourished foundation within you, like nettles and mamaki does, it just has a domino effect on so many other areas of mm-hmm. your life. And it's even with your children, like to nourish your children with nettles, and it's just going to have such a positive domino effect on their lives and just help the whole system of the body, I feel like, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm a huge proponent of almost everybody needs nettles. More nettles in the world, please. Oh, I'm yeah, so excited to see them start popping up where I live. Yay. I'm ready. I'm ready, plant friends. Mm-hmm. Right. Cool. Thank you so much for sharing a little section of your book. Where can people find you? Where can people find your book and reach out maybe if they have any questions or?
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram. It's mainly where I am and where I share stuff and where I connect with people if they want to ask questions or just talk to me. You can find me on Instagram, Yama Mama. It's on my little name here.
Y-A-M-A-M-A-M-A, right?
Yeah. I have those little underscores before the words.
Yeah, most of our, just FYI, most of our people are going to hear this on the podcast until I get it up on YouTube, which is probably a little ways down the road. So nice. Saying those things is amazing.
So at underscore Y-A-M-A underscore Mama. M-A-M-A.
Awesome. Yeah, I went in my programs, they're M-O-M-M-A, and I went back and forth on the M-A-M-A or M-O-M-M-A, and I ended on M-O-M-M-A purely because the URLs were available.
Mm, nice.
and it's more M's, and like, I have four names that in my full name is Melissa Marie Madeline Butterspa, and everyone starts with M's. Yeah,
it's that's awesome. Yeah, and then that's so great. My book is you can find it on Amazon.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's on Amazon, which is really exciting. And then when you purchase it, there's a little page in the back that has a website link to where you can find my free bonuses.
Nice.
So, and then also on my Instagram, I have a link tree to all the free bonuses and everything too, where you can like download the coloring sheets and listen to the audio and kind of where I'll be adding more stuff eventually, like, you know, some videos, plant ID videos, or maybe like making the recipes in the book and stuff too.
Super fun. That's exciting.
Really fun. Yeah,
that's really great. I'm definitely going to link to all of your stuff in the show notes for this. Is your book on bookshop.org by any chance?
I'm not sure.
It is. Oh. And I'm going to link to it from there because Bookshop is amazing. It's a Black woman-owned business. Ooh. And they support a lot of locally independent-owned bookshops. And that's where all the books come from. So that's where I like to like share all of that. I totally get from your perspective, like Amazon is huge for a person with a book. It's very important to be there for sure. But I'm like, heck yeah, Bookshop. I like what you're doing. Rising up Sweet. The little people. So
yeah, because the publishing company that I use, well, I self-published, but you know, the printery and stuff, I think they just send it all out to all these different avenues and channels. Like, yeah. So
cool. Awesome. Are there any other like words of wisdom to any mama out there that is looking to use more plant medicine with their family? What would you say to them right now?
I would say to just get started and start small, because sometimes you can like steamroll into like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to do this and then this. And then it just feels too overwhelming and you can't take on one more overwhelming thing in your life. So just start small. Like even if you don't have a yard or a garden, you can buy a plot and put some thyme in the pot, and then you can start to make tea with thyme. And it's one of the best herbs for colds and coughs and flus and stuff like that. Just start with one plant and just one pot even.
Yep. I love that piece of advice because it can quickly get overwhelming, but it doesn't have to.
And you can start with those culinary herbs like thyme and oregano and basil and parsley. You can start with, you know, sage is great. I use that all the time, not only for cooking, but for teas, for any kind of throat issues or coughs. Start with the culinary herbs, because then you can use it for cooking, and you can also start to learn how to use it, you know, in your home with your children.
And it's highly likely you already have it right there, so you don't have to go out and get anything else.
True.
There's so much powerful medicine in your kitchen cabinet, and we have all forgotten that. And like, that's some of the best ginger stuff out there.
Ginger is amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. It does so many different things. It's mind-boggling and fascinating and fun. It is so much fun.
Yeah.
So I love that bit of wisdom from you. And I have had so much fun connecting with you today.
I wish I could do this every day.
I know, right? Can I just talk to people about herbs all day, every day? You can. Oh, wait. That's what I do now.
You've done it.
Love it.
Good job.
I mean, I'm still working on it. It's still work. And I love it, though. So I couldn't imagine doing anything else. So.
Great. Well, it's been an honor meeting you. And I just feel so grateful to have been invited on here. It's really like to be able to talk about, you know, my love and my passion for plants and herbs is like, it's such a great feeling. And I just want to thank you so much.
Thank
Hopefully
you.
Hopefully I'll see you soon.
On.
See you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Bye, Sonia. Thank you.
Bye.
End of the show. Editors, you don't have to put in there. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I honestly mean that, like, honestly, I've been kind of going through like a little bit of a transition, like a lot of stuff in my personal life. So for me to be able to like, just talk about this and to like, remember like who I am and just how connected I am to everything has been a huge blessing. So thank you so much.
Awesome. Yeah. My pleasure. And I think that collectively there are so many people going through major transition right now. I am, and I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful for it. And it's a lot of work and it's a lot of inner healing and like release all the shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, face it.
Yeah, all the shit that's been holding you back for so many years.
Yep.
Hello, I see you. Thank you for being there and protecting me. You may now go.
Yeah.
I am safe. Thank you.
Totally. Yes.
So I'm doing a lot of that stuff too. But I would love to also connect about you potentially teaching maybe in July inside of Apothecary Mama, my membership. So
that would be amazing.
It's about an hour to max with like a really intensive Q&A session.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe I would love to talk on tips and tricks to keeping your kids cool and hydrated in the warm months, which are all year round for you, but for us, summer over here, if that's something you would feel happy about.
Yeah, I think so. I would love that. I mean, if people could have access to those plants, like I mentioned, you know, mint, aloe, hibiscus, you know, it'd also be really fun, which I have a recipe in my book too. And I know like kids are swimming a lot during that time of year is turmeric. I learned from my Hawaiian kumu makes I use it all the time for my kids when they get ear stuff. You just like grate it and then juice it. And then you just put 3 drops in each ear 3 times a day for 3 days. My kids, anytime they get ear stuff, it always goes away, except for the one time my son had like a big wax buildup that had to get flushed out first.
Yeah.
But even with me with ear stuff, it's an amazing, I use it all the time, that remedy.
Yeah. Anything to do with summer, like what you think these mamas need to know?
Smoothies would be really fun. Like
I talk smoothies a lot.
I have a really good, my daughter just asked me today if she can make the green smoothie, which is like banana, avo, orange, kale, mint. It's so good.
Yeah.
Or even
sounds
like
good.
Yeah, the aloe mint apple sometimes is a really good one. It's nice and cooling.
Sweet. I will give you free reign to pretty much just like have fun with it, knowing that it's all about keeping them cool and happy and healthy in hot summertime months. So yeah, swimming is huge and ear infections happen. Like I was the child who had ear surgery 13 times and I have a fake eardrum and drilled into my mastoid gland. And every year you couldn't get me out of the water. Like I was just always in the water and I got tubes every year. And then I my earplugs wouldn't work or whatever. And then like I had this nasty pus and stuff, and my parents definitely gave me way too much dairy, and I can look back on it all and be like, oh, well, duh. Like, no wonder why my whole ENT world was screwed. Yeah, I think that would be really, really fun.
It would be fun. I'll think more on it too. I bet stuff will come up.
Yeah, stuff will definitely come up. And if you haven't taught classes much, you will find that it's really easy to put too much in.
Right. Yeah,
That's what I've found.
I've taught kids classes, but like I said, we just go through one plan at a time.
Yeah, I love that. I love teaching kids. My background is environmental and experiential ed and teaching young kids nature connection, basically. So I love doing that kind of stuff. It's so much fun. But these mamas are great too. And they're so stoked to learn from people. And I have just recently been in 2023 bringing in other teachers, which for me is really great because it gives my students more people to learn from.
Right. Have you talked about plantain yet for like bug bites and stuff?
Plantain's like my baby. Plantain and calendula are probably like my top two. I talk about plantain all of the time, and that doesn't mean that other people can't talk about plantain all of the time. We are doing a whole focus in the month of May that is all first aid. Okay. So I'm bringing in Greta Montaigne. I'm not sure if you know her, but she's a total badass in the world of first aid, herbalism, and all kinds of herbalism. She is amazing. If you don't know her, look her up. And actually she was, I think, my most recent podcast guest.
Okay, cool.
So
check it out.
Yeah. So that's our intensive in May. So it doesn't mean you can't talk about plantain, but I'm really wanting to focus on like cool weather tips, hydration, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the first hands-on, like, I've got kids that are 7 and 12, and this is what they dig, and this is what we do, and this is what you can do too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
Yeah. They're all super fun and great people. I love having guests around. I will say that the days that I am looking at right now would either be July 5th, maybe, or the 19th.
Okay.
If those fit in with you, I may need to check in on the 19th. I might actually switch to the 26th because I am going to be teaching at the Good Medicine Confluence.
Oh, exciting.
Colorado. So
that's exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
I would love to head to, like, I've never been to an herbal conference, and it's like on my to-do bucket list, and I'm just kind of like hanging out. So maybe I'm like, maybe if I stay in California long enough, I'll be able to fly somewhere.
Go to conferences. It was Brighton Bush Herbal Conference that really made me say, oh,
that's
my
the one
God.
That's the one that I want to go to, but I haven't.
It is the it. One.
I haven't seen it pop back up since COVID yet.
Mason was one of the people that had recently been brought up to run it with Elise Higley from Oshala Farms.
Oh,
they are not doing it this year. It burned down in 2020 with the wildfires happening. So there's a lot of reconstruction and rebuilding happening. They are open to the public now, but I know Mason and I talked, and he was saying he was stepping down from the role of organizing the event, but it is by far one of the most magical places to ever be. And that's where I first met Rosemary, and she tried my herbal teas when I had my product line and was like, I love them. One particular was a hibiscus heart song one that I did. And so that was really fun. Yeah. So I'm excited to go to a live in-person conference for sure. So hopefully you can make some happen for you.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me, I've got a good hibiscus summer tea blend that I love.
Yeah.
It'd be a good one to share.
Awesome. Well, cool. I will connect back with you on dates to try and get some confirmation, and we'll get you in there, and you can come up with like a title if you want for the class. And then I would want a picture of you. It is paid also. Yeah, then we'll just get it on the calendar. So my students can know what to be stoked on. Thank you.
Yeah, I love it.
Awesome.
Have so a great to day. Meet you. You too. Too.
Have a good one.
Okay. Bye. Be in touch soon. Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of The Herbalist Path. Being on this journey with you is absolutely incredible. If you dig this episode, please leave me a review on your favorite podcast player and share it with your friends so that together we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. On another note, I must mention that while I know you're getting some good info here, it's important to remember that this podcast is purely for entertainment and educational purposes and is not intended to be a substitute for medical treatment. While the information in this podcast is absolutely relevant, herbs work differently for each person and each condition. That's why I recommend you work with a qualified practitioner, whether that be another herbalist, a naturopath, or your doctor. So thank you again. I am truly honored that you're tuning into these episodes and on the path with me to make sure that there's an herbalist in every home again. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends so that we can make herbalism hashtag spread like wildflowers. I wanted to take a quick pause to show some love and gratitude to our sponsors of the Herbalist Path podcast, who make this show possible for me and possible for you too. So here it goes. Medicinal mushrooms are all the rage these days, if you didn't know already. And with great reason, because they are powerful medicine that can improve your health and your life in so many different ways. When they're well made. Yeah, it's true. There's a lot of stuff on the market that isn't going to be so effective. And that's why you need to find a brand that you can actually trust. For me, that brand is Whole Sun Wellness. And this is the creation of a brilliant woman and fellow mama, Jamie Bonfiglio. She's an international mushroom educator that has been working in the medicinal mushroom industry for years. And this is when she saw firsthand how many other companies take shortcuts when it comes to their products. And Jamie wasn't having it. She set out to build her company the right way. Whole Sun Wellness is here to raise the industry standards so those crap mushrooms on the market aren't getting into your body or your family's body. Whole Sun Wellness is the first company to test and report nutritional facts for all of their extracts. They go beyond industry standards every step of the way, from sourcing to extraction and final testing. And as the owners of the largest medicinal mushroom farm in the United States, Whole Sun Wellness is taking control of their supply chain for the highest quality and absolute full transparency. They're even the first company to include pure mycelium extract in every single product. So when you're thinking of getting medicinal mushrooms for you and your family, Whole Sun Wellness is exactly the ones you want. Also, be sure to check out their new Mycolites. These are the world's first dissolvable electrolyte tablets. They're featuring functional mushroom extracts that'll give you more energy, more stamina, and recovery as well. And who couldn't use all of that? The other thing is, they are these adorable little mushroom-shaped tablets, and they come in like a little Altoids box, but way cooler than Altoids, because they're Mycolites. Anyways, head to wholesunwellness.com to grab yourself some Mycolites and all of the other functional medicinal mushrooms that you and your family need. And of course, you can grab that link right here in the show notes now.